Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on Dr. Drew After Dark.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Mama Jeans.
Hi, Jeans. What's up with your boner?
These are hard questions, right? Hey, philosophical.
It's all gray area. Like, I always tell Tom when he's on the road during my period, I'm like, dude, you got lucky. It was shark week and you're gone.
Plan to jump in the water.
Yeah. It's tough to look into the darkness.
Did we talk about this a couple months ago, you and I?
We talk about it every time we see each other.
The darkness.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. Christina P. is back, everybody. Phone number 818-253-1693 and emails drfdark@gmail.com. And of course, we're doing live phone calls. Thank you to Christina P. who's organized this
just
so we can
me.
Actually take calls.
I yeah. take full credit, yep. not yep. Annie or Nadav or yep. any of the other guys that work here.
No. It's all you. This whole thing is you.
This building. Not Tom Segura, just Christina P.
Well, this you know Tom's how men building. Are. The woman driving behind, just a little more.
I don't tell people that. But I think the staff knows on some level that
I know how that is.
Makes the shit go.
Yeah, talk to my wife. She will be explicit about it. She does tell many people about it. Yeah. She's like, this dude, because of me, that's it.
But there is a team. That's why, can I tell you something? This is a good topic.
Yes.
That's why it's so important for men and women to choose a good life partner,
yeah.
a good mate in life.
So we're going to talk about relationships today, but this
yes.
is a great place to start.
Oh, that was so good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
That was a good segue.
We didn't plan this.
No.
So the what I noticed across the lifespan of my relationship, marriage, is that I was never taught or nothing was ever made of the fact that, you know, there was a lot made of the romance and the relationship and the sex and the relationship, blah, blah, blah. But you're building a life together.
Yes.
And you're building a family together. These are big undertakings.
Massive.
That your teammate, your
yeah.
partner in this has to be with you just the way you'd select a vice president if you're trying to run a giant business or something.
I know.
It's the same fucking thing.
And can I hate it that my mother told me this when
she
I was
did?
Little?
Your mother wasn't all bad. This
I
is
know.
The first thing we found good about
no,
your mom.
No, and I'm telling you, lately I'm siding with her on certain things, but she did say to me, marriage is not about love. It is a business arrangement. Now, I don't agree necessarily with all of that statement, but there is something to the idea of it being, you're in the business of building a life and building a family
yes.
unit.
Well,
In that regard.
So we have begun, Susan's not going to be in here right now, but we got to have this conversation with her soon. We have started to chat about, we're watching people kind of struggle in their relationships, this and that. And we were like, dude, we are 4 years into this thing. There is no pulling this apart. You know what I mean? If you start fucking up and we have to live separate lives, we're still not going to get a divorce.
Right.
Because it's just
Why?
Too much. It's too much.
Why would it's you at some point?
Too much. We've built this whole thing together. And I don't imagine that happening to us. But even then, it's like, it's just not an option.
I know. I
don't care how pissed I get. Maybe I'd feel differently if I get really, really pissed.
I agree, though. Listen, I went into marriage without being like, there's no way out. It's no divorce. I don't divorce. I will not divorce. And I will not bring children into this marriage, into this world, and get divorced.
Yes.
So I share the same thought as you, which is like, dude, whatever the fuck is happening, we're going to go, like, you're not leaving,
figure
dude.
This out. Yeah.
Yeah. Because here's what I've watched as a child of divorce. Both my parents married, remarried 2, 3, 4 times.
Of course.
Guess what, fools? If you don't do the work,
same
on yourself,
happened.
You're
going
to marry the same person. Same shit, different toilet. What is it? Iverson. Same shit, different toilet.
Yes.
So you think you're upgrading your partner by dumping the old guy.
Yep.
But guess what, bitch? Once that sex haze phases out, you likely are with the same motherfucker
yep. It's because and I'm sure we'll talk about some of this today. It's because of the we have fittedness. You know what I mean? Our relationship sort of have maps that we are attracted to certain things and we fit with certain things and we're comfortable with certain things. We like certain things. And that's not going to change unless you really do some work.
But here's the struggle and the task of marriage is that you and I, especially, we both married young.
I married 31.
Wait, what?
31 was I got married.
Okay, well, I got married at 32.
We got together when we were 24. Yeah, we started hanging out then. Yeah.
So Tom was like 26 and I was 28, or he was 25. I was 28 when we started dating. So you start off as a kid and then you have to grow together. Like you have to grow independently as humans and then your relationship has to grow. That's the challenge.
Yes.
Is can I grow with this person into the next level stage of maturity?
And I don't know how the fuck, maybe she thinks the same thing about me, how I put up with some of her shit when we were younger, but how she put up with my workaholism early.
Oh my God. I don't know. But she's pretty independent. I think Susan Pinsky, it's funny because I know you guys a little bit better now. I think you've said before, you're like, she's fine without me. She can go on without me.
Oh yeah, no, she'd be fine. Yeah, I don't have to worry about that. She's not dependent on anything. Yeah, that's fine.
Do you really believe that?
I think she's happier with me, but I don't have to worry about her falling apart. She can take care of herself.
Yeah, no, most definitely not.
She's tough. I like that.
Yeah, very tough. But also then you throw children into the relationship. So now there's not just two of you, there's three of you.
Five of us.
There's four in you. Yeah. There's so many of people coming out of you that ruin your relationship in a way in the beginning. So you have to navigate this new dynamic. Mm. One kid comes, that's a massive change. Two kids come, now there's four people that you're working out. And I think what happened, at least in our early baby-making relationship, is like, I didn't know what was fucking happening. I didn't have a mother or an elder woman to be like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a kid. You're going to hate your husband for a while. But you should talk to him and you guys will figure it out. Do you know what I mean? Instead, I was like, I fucking hate this. I hate everybody. Yeah. And that's an issue. That
we just call that postpartum depression.
That too. So yeah, it's a Herculean effort.
And you have to push through it. Think if you just cave to it or whatever, and all those weird feelings.
Well, that's when you get divorced. I think people go.
And there, that's one phase of many that you go through as time goes along. What if a spouse gets sick or old or whatever? I mean, there's so much shit.
You mean when, homie? When?
Well, what if there's an age difference? And people don't plan that at all. I've seen that so many times.
Tell me about that.
Oh my God. When people have a 20-year age gap. Yeah. And it's usually the male's older. Not always, not these days.
Yeah.
And the other spouse becomes a caretaker. That is
so
not something,
hot.
Yeah, it is. Talk about one of the vag drying crowd. Talk about that.
Changing my husband's diapers is a vag dryer. Yeah. Fucking gross, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I know, because it sounds all hot and horny in the beginning. You're like, yeah, this guy's so mature. It's my daddy issues. And then in a decade, he's going to be old as shit and you're young. And
well, funny, I saw a call in here. Maybe we should take a call. This computer keeps turning off. There we go. Oh, we have lots of them here.
That's so juicy. Oh my God, I can't fucking wait. Okay, let's go. Goodness. I like these sounds. Okay,
hold on. There was, here, I want to take an erection call though.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. And this is Steven.
Steven's got a boner.
Doesn't. Oh, hey, Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Mama Jeans.
Hi, Jeans. What's up with your boner?
So I tried Viagra for off and on for a couple of months, 2 or 3 months. Mm. And, I wouldn't have a problem like getting an erection, but it was maintaining the erection. It's like the slightest little thing could distract me and while having sex. Mm-hmm. And, I would just lose it. You know, it would just go away.
How old are you?
I got sometimes like 40.
Are you on any medication?
You
said a little overweight.
A little overweight. I need to lose some weight.
But. People say a little overweight. They're usually talking about 100 pounds.
No.
How much you weigh?
Three. No. Realistically, I probably to be like overweight. But
how much do you weigh?
You know, I'm
300 pounds.
Yeah, that can that. But the weight alone, when that impacts
absolutely.
Your erections.
Oh my God,
buddy, you got to lose weight for your boner.
The adipose tissue produces so much estrogen that it just overwhelms your testosterone production, and it can definitely affect erectile function. You said Viagra. What was the dose the Viagra used?
I believe it was 40, and then I wrote back to them that it wasn't helping, and they said, we'll try 80. They said that I could do up to 80. So I did start taking two pills at a time. Mm. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, you can take Cialis on top of Viagra, though that gets a little more dicey in terms of risks. And the next order yep. thing are injectables. They have these injections you can put in the penis.
In the penis?
Into the penis.
How painful is that?
It's yeah. a tiny little needle. It's not that painful. He's like, nope. And then pumps. That's what comes after all of it is penis pumps. And so you really...
Well, go ahead.
I don't want you having penis pump because you need to lose 80 pounds. Lose the 80 pounds.
No. Well, I guess my question was, or the other alternative, and just your advice, would be TRT.
Yeah, so hold on. We'll get on that in a second. Not that kind of penis pump. I'm talking about penis pump that's implanted in the penis. So penile implants.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying talking about next. There we are, penile implants. People are happy when they get those. Yeah, see how they pump the testicle, and that makes the whole thing go right. See that, Christine? Isn't that?
Yeah, I do, but how is the pump always connected?
Yes.
Like you always have to go.
Yes. He has a release valve. So
wait, where does the part
goes into the penis? See, there's that yellow in the penis.
Hold on, he squeezes his nuts to make his dick harder.
Pump it.
You squeeze your nuts.
Okay, show the one in the upper left hand corner there. That
I
one.
Want everybody getting this.
See the blue thing, the blue in the penis. That's it's like a bladder that fills up with the fluid that you pump out of the testes.
That's rad, dude. Yeah. You should totally get this. Forget losing weight, bro. Go straight to the pump.
I'm looking through it.
It's
good. I don't want you getting pumped just because you're overweight. Yes, testosterone replacement is another way to go, but it seems if I were to do something like that with you, I would say, look, you're going to have to have a weight loss program that we're aiming towards getting off of this shit and get the weight down and get that sort of all squared. And as always, when people have low testosterone, the doctor's got to explain why,
not just immediately the weight
in some cases. Don't just automatically put them on testosterone. Just why are they sick and what's the plan with it?
Well, not only that, I would say too, getting into your 40s, dicey proposition being overweight. Don't you think that's the deck? That's your final decade.
You're not allowed to say that
up.
Anymore. Now it's like, oh, because overweight is just a...
Oh, yeah, you're just as healthy. Yeah. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. Listen to the callers we have. Bullshit. No way.
Let's flesh that out a little bit. You can be okay. You can be. Some people are. But if you're starting to have diabetes and erectile dysfunction, that's your body, and hypertension, that's your body saying you're not at the right weight.
Mm.
Okay. Now, there is something called the obesity paradox. You ever heard of this?
Yes, I have, and I don't like it. I don't think it makes sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either, and I think it may be a vestige of the kind of obesity people used to get. Now we're getting really serious obesity at such a large scale that I think that a paradox may sort of wash out.
So but explain the paradox.
The paradox is that obese people tend to live longer. That's the basic paradox.
That's wild.
Now, I think it is more of a function of what happens when you get a lot older. When you get a lot older, when you're skinny and debilitated, that's the worst.
Yeah,
you
that
fall,
sucks.
You break bones and stuff. When you're heavier and, you know, you sort of your muscles have to contend with that. And
that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
Like you survive. Like it's in a way like survival of the fittest where you're carrying around this fat suit and you must be pretty strong.
You get strong from that. But it's less problem than being frail.
Yeah, frail's no good either.
It's no
Pilates.
Good.
You had your Pilates.
Okay, we have so many good questions.
Fucking wait.
Let's do it this one, Al, because it's what you were talking about with hating your husband.
Oh, sure.
Al, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, good. Al.
There, me, mommy.
Hi, Jeans.
I was calling because I've got a girlfriend. We are creeping up on being together for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reoccurring challenges that we face is that she has PMDD, gets pretty severe.
So premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
She gets some wild mood swings.
Mm. Duh. Dude, no, I'm just like, I get it.
Yeah. Did you have bad mood swings with
before I got on progesterone? I'm perimenopausal, so I get it. That hormone stuff is real, homie.
I told you to look into this shit and get on it.
But I didn't know. I was on like Lexapro instead. I'm like,
that's what they do. They put these women on antidepressants and they really just need hormones.
Because that's all. It's all in your mind.
How old is she?
Go ahead.
How old is she though?
31.
So it's possible perimenopausal, but probably not. And she's had this probably her whole adult life.
Yeah, but it was really only in the past, I would say, 5 or 6 years that it kind of, like she found out that there was a diagnosis.
All right, so here's what's interesting. Mm. What should the male partner do?
Fuck him. Fuck right off.
Well, should we just disappear for a couple days? Should we be a servant for a couple days?
But what is his question? So what is your question? Like, what to do about this?
Well, so the emotions, you know, they get so big. And, you know, obviously, like, when you're in the middle of it, it's all very valid. But then, like, once the mood swing is over, a lot of the times, like, whatever issue it was that was at the forefront gets forgotten about.
Mm.
And so, you know, I want to take her seriously, but I also don't want to, like, overinvest in something.
Because, you know, it's cray cray. Mm-hmm. Overinvest in her or in the argument?
The feelings.
In the argument. Yeah. In the mood swing.
All right, homie. I'm going to tell you what's up with chicks. Here's what you're going to do, bro. The second you catch wind of PMS and you know, you can confirm it. Number one, never say shit to a woman. Like, oh, are you
Why is that so disturbing? If it were any other condition and you'd go, hey, maybe you're depressed. You'd go, oh, thank you. Maybe I haven't thought about that.
Because
when it's PMDD, like, fuck you.
Because you don't know when you're in it.
I understand, but wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to be able to put it?
That's like when you're angry and someone goes, calm down. What does that do? Makes you even crazier. Mm-hmm. So when someone's like, you're being crazy, period, isn't it? Be like, fuck your mother, I'll kill you. So what you're going to do is...
Remind me not to be Mark Christina premenstrual.
Because here's what I've learned over the years is to give my husband a heads up. Hey, listen, I'm about to go into crazy town. I might be fucking weird. I'm psychotic right now. Please give me 2 days to be psychotic.
Okay, so what do we do? And what do we do?
What you're going to do is you're not going to bring this shit up. You're not going to say fucking shit.
Are you safe around the kids?
Yeah. You're going to give her sweets. You're going to buy her candy, chocolate, whatever it is she likes to. Yes. You're going to feed her the things she likes, the sweet treats she likes.
Do you make me fat? Or what do you do?
No. That means that he doesn't think she's fat.
I've tried this, and that's what I usually get.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
You're going to make me fat. You don't support my diet.
Fuck. Okay, then do the stuff she likes. Is there a stupid movie she likes to watch? And if that fails, disappear, bro.
Yeah. So that's the question. So here's the bottom line. Disappear or become a silent servant.
I mean, listen, bro, if I were you, I would just get the fuck out of town. Like, I always tell Tom when he's on the road during my period, I'm like, dude, you got lucky. You just missed the worst week. It was Shark Week and you're gone. You're lucky. Like, plan to
jump in the water.
Yeah. plan trips.
Got there a moment before I did.
Yeah.
Plan trips, plan to be out, plan to be with your friends more. Not at night.
But remember that no matter what you do, it's wrong.
You're fucked either way, bro. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like,
I think silent servant is sort of an okay way. You just bite your fucking tongue and just kind of just.
Yeah, because I'll tell you something. Men go through bad moods too. Like when my husband's angry and he's angry about stupid shit, like the fucking plants. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's his PMS. I just shut the fuck up. And I go about my business and let him work it out on his own.
Yes.
So shut the fuck up. Maybe go about it your own way.
I think women are a little better at that than men are.
To shut the fuck up and go on?
No, let us go on about our business. We tend to want to fix everything. And so we're like, well, what's going on? What's up? Like,
my husband's the exact opposite. Yeah, okay, my husband is such a runner. Like if he sees me mildly irritated, he just heads for the hills. He knows better.
Good. So there you go. First-hand account.
Hide, sweetie. Go make plans. Go have fun. Try to be nice. That's all you can do.
Oh my goodness. This is a good one.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm
sorry. Work the
all right, my friend. Yeah. Here's a good one. Christina.
Okay.
This is a Christina.
Oh, a Christina. Christina.
Yeah, she's Canadian.
She's from Ontario. Me too. Hi.
Ontario, Canada.
Hi.
Are you from Ontario, Canada?
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yes. Y'all can.
She's not from Ontario, Canada.
Hi. I am calling from Ontario, Canada. Hello.
Oh, what part? Okay, forget it.
I'm about a 45 minutes south of Toronto.
Okay, I was born in Windsor, so shout out.
And you know how she, you notice how Canadians say.
Oh, Windsor, okay, so Windsor is like 45 minutes south of me, so I'm right in the middle.
All right, hoser.
And the hosers, are, by the way, they never say,
they don't
say Toronto.
Toronto. All right.
Hey, so what's up, Christina?
Toronto.
What's up?
Hey, so, my question is as follows. So I'm a grown-ass woman, and as such, I have reproductive issues. I have PCOS, and I have a very large fibroid in my uterus. And it's all fine and good. Like, sometimes I bleed, sometimes I don't. And when I wasn't, my ever-loving boyfriend, who just loves to go down on me 24/7, this 24/7. Is like a couple of months ago, he was going down on me, and he caught a blood clot in his mouth. And I wasn't really prepared for that. I didn't expect it. And he jumped up, and he was really scared. It was an embryo.
A fetus.
So, okay, okay. So I was like, no, honey, it's not an embryo. It's just my body. But then the cunnilingus quickly stopped from there. And he hasn't gone down on me since.
Yeah.
And it's been a year.
A year?
Yeah, it's been a year with no cunnilingus. And I'm a woman with needs, and shit's getting pretty horny.
So hold on. So when you say he caught a blood clot.
I'm still like.
Yeah. He went like in his mouth?
Yeah. So his tongue was really deep into my pussy. And my fibroid, like I have a huge fibroid, and I've got PCOS, and I've got all these other shit. And so I thought that everything was clean, and I had checked it before. But something dislodged from my uterus,
gosh.
and just swept into his mouth.
Is
it waves of life?
Fired and, fired it into his mouth.
He caught it.
Fired a clot, like boom, like
you.
A ping pong ball.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Because I thought she literally passed an embryo and didn't notice.
No, he was worried that
okay.
was the case because
okay.
it was so.
I was like, sister, you should have felt your miscarriage.
Yes,
okay,
okay.
I'm not as worried about this.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah,
it wasn't a miscarriage.
No.
It was just I've got this funky uterus.
Sure, you've got it's a chunk of uterus.
This is the fourth. We've
totally
got the first three go
got
rounds.
It.
We got the PCOS,
got
the fibroids, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
blah.
It's a uterine chunk that came out.
And also, he was going down on me, so I was super horny and like shit was clenching.
Ah, so that's where the firing
so
came from.
I was
from.
Like,
the,
so like
she propelled it out.
So my uterus was contracting.
Well, let me ask this.
Caught,
why does he have to spend so much time at the vag, like in the vag? Is that important to you?
Well, that's an excellent question. I mean, I don't know. He loves the vag.
Does he understand? I know what he loves. He loves it because he thinks you love it. Does he understand your anatomy?
Oh, Dr. True. God, thank you. I mean, yes. He likes to. He moves upstairs.
Forget what he likes. Here's what men like. Men like what you like. There was an interesting study just came out that said, you know, what do most men find most turns them on the most during sex? And most men almost always say the female partner's being turned on.
Of course.
And when they ask the females what turns them on, it's like, what I'm experiencing. What turns me on is me thinking about what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Yes. So
this penguin.
So like
laugh
he was way in the basement.
Yeah, I know he doesn't need to go there. Let him stay on top. Let him stay in the first floor. He can stay on top where your clitoris is and educate him about what really would work for you. And if should there be any future clots, they will miss his mouth. Because his mouth will be elsewhere. Okay.
What about this? This is.
Yes, and by the way, and describe how important it is for him, and if it's in for you rather, and if by the way, and if he doesn't respond, get a vibrator, incorporate that into what you guys
always.
Are doing.
And number
always,
two,
always. Christina says always. Be sure to go get a whole variety.
Or I mean, is this 290s? But like, what about dental dams? Remember that. If he's spooked, maybe start him off on a dental dam until he sees that there's nothing funky coming out.
But I think he has grave men. are only interested in what they think is turning you on. That's it. And if he's spending way too much time at the vaginal os, that's what she thinks he likes, he doesn't give a shit about that. He thinks that he's doing something for her.
Yeah.
And you got it. Men do. And you're laughing about it. Men have no idea.
I have such a history because I'm smiling about things that like my teenage lovers would do.
Well, guess what? I would say most men are still doing the same thing, or at least kind of in that same zone, because no one has stopped them. It's, hey, cut it out.
Like, no one
remember
likes
the, hey,
that.
Cut it out? I taught you last show.
Yeah.
This is one of the things they need to cut out. Yeah. Stop it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's just because I didn't know as like a teenager. You don't know what you like.
Tell them to stop. Men just want to do what they don't care. We don't get offended when you tell us.
No,
this
I know. Not we, a lot we, of offensive.
No, we want to be. We want to improve what we're doing. We want to do better. So I'll just make it good. All right, Samantha, let's hear it.
So I have a question. I've been in a relationship for like 9 years and I really love him in a lot of ways. And we have a great thing going, but we have a big personality difference. Like, I'm super wild like you guys and just kind of like goofy, and he's like a little bit more humdrum.
Yeah.
And it's just super lonely and like I'm feeling unfulfilled, but everything else is awesome. And I just wonder how petty that is.
Go ahead, Christine. I'll give you
no, you. I'm because, like, no, you go.
Well, two of you would be fun for a minute and then you'd drive each other crazy. Just the way for him, two of him would not be fun. I no doubt in my mind, he enjoys these things you bring to the relationship. And it sounds like it's more on your end that you're feeling sort of let down or lonely, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And my fear is, buckle up, honey. My fear is that you have some kind of burgeoning alcoholism or something, and you need this very high degree of stimulation in order to kind of feel okay. And you're sort of one of these sort of extreme people that really it's part of your biology. You know, that we call alcoholism oftentimes.
Right, because she's not happy with like the safe.
You need the over the top stuff. You need stimulation.
More conversation.
Well, that would be fine. He can easily provide that, right? But are you in that zone where you kind of need a lot of stuff? You need a lot of action?
I don't. I'm like, I'm kind of similar to Christina, like Eastern European race, Croatian over here. So I have something.
We just hear alcoholic when you say that.
Mental illness, you mean?
Seriously. Like, I love normal. Like, it's been like my life goal to just be more normal.
More normal than what? Than what? More normal
than people who I deem a little bit more erratic.
Like your family of origin stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
What were the conditions in the family? We inherit their shit. What was in the family of origin stuff? What was there?
No one's really diagnosed, but there's just like a lot. I would say we're very passionate people. So, you know, just quick to anger, quick to be mean.
Okay. Well,
don't really.
Passionate is a term I do not accept. That's glossing over oftentimes serious mental illness, abuse, domestic violence.
Yeah. That was me being nice.
And alcoholism. So I'm guessing there's alcohol in there.
Yeah. Eastern European and booze bags were kind of same in the one. I'm saying that we usually go hand in hand. The Eastern Europeans and alcoholism, it's like fudge
common.
And caramel, bro.
It's common. And so you inherit...
Yeah. Well, my extended family has it for sure, but not my immediate family.
All right,
but
so
we're
you...
Just like,
so you inherited some of this.
It's more so just like his personality.
Hang on.
He's super boring.
You can't change him. I'm talking about you. And so you inherited this tendency, and you're used to high levels of extreme stimulation from your home environment, from your family of origin. And it's traumatizing, but you've come to be sort of attracted to that. And I will tell you, it's sort of pathological to like that, but it's in you. And unless you do something about that actively, you can only change you. You can't change him. You're going to cheat or something. That's my fear.
I agree, Samantha. And I'll tell you, because Tom's like super boring too, you know? And part of me, like he's so boring in real life, but I love him. And I knew that I needed to break the cycle of my own past to get comfortable with boring because Boring is healthy. Someone that's healthy and
people
regulated.
Need simple life. People need a yes. simple life.
So Samantha, I might offer you, I might say to you, if you want, because every now and then I want a fix too of hanging out with crazies, which is why I'm a comedian. Number two, find a girlfriend who's also married, but in a committed life. Like she's not going to act out with you, but maybe someone you can go and have a wild conversation with and have drinks and laugh and then come home and be, quote, boring with your husband.
That's a great piece of advice.
Right? Because I have crazy friends that I'm like, you're fucking crazy. I'm going to go home to my normal life. Bye now. It's fun.
Now, having said all of that, which I think is good advice, there is a zone that some people kind of need. You know what I mean? You may need more than you're getting.
Sure.
It just may be true. While I'm not saying go all the way to the domestic violence that you were accustomed to, but you may need to be somewhere more in the middle than what you've got. And even though what you've got is very healthy and it gets dicier, the more off that you go, the more away from it you go, the more challenges, the more pathologies, the more stuff comes up. But some people just can't live without it. And as long as you're not going all the way over there, you know, the way we always tell people is if you do end this relationship and try to do it again, do not go with someone that gives you lightning bolts. Lightning bolts will be the shit you came from.
Fuck that.
You can have sort of butterflies with some excitement, but the lightning bolt shit, you know where that's going.
It's like Pamela Anderson. You see the documentary?
Yes.
Like she ended up being with Tommy Lee, which was daddy, basically, fighting and fucking and fighting and fucking. And there's some excitement there. But
yes,
that's
and she
not...
can't get over it. And no one's helped her with that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a problem, by the way.
That's documentary number two, where Dr. Drew shows up. Pam Anderson's beach house.
Yes.
Help her get over
this
shit.
We do a little talking to her.
Yeah.
And so what Christina said, if you haven't seen the documentary, is that her family of origin, her dad and her mom, were extremely sick. The relationship was just a fucking mess. And to my eye, I think dad got sober. I think that's why they were kind of still all had relationships.
Cool. Great.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. Because otherwise they would have been all blown apart.
I know.
They wouldn't have put up with that shit.
But that dynamic was very familiar. And I think when she had it with Tommy...
Yeah. And she can't get over it. And that is called an addiction, everybody. Yeah. That is being addicted to somebody and to the intensity. You're addicted to the intensity, not the relationship, not the person. You're addicted to the intensity. You just don't know it.
God, she's beautiful. I mean, perfect.
Well, when she was really young, it was amazing to see her kind of come up through things.
Gorgeous.
Do you like that documentary?
I did. I'm only 3/4 of the way through it, so don't. Don't spoil it for me.
Okay. I like the fact that she did the no makeup stuff too. I admire that.
Yeah, it's cool as shit.
Yeah. And I guess her son produced this thing.
Yep.
So interesting.
I like Tommy too.
Let me give you an email here. 38, for the past 3 months, every night I've been awakened because of a massive, uncomfortable erection. The penis and the taint are getting involved. Even after waking up, the erections don't go away. Either I have to get up and walk around or spend 15 minutes gripping the head.
Sheesh.
So it's not tickled to get relief. What the fuck? I brought this concern to my doctor, who seemed to dismiss my concerns and attribute it to my cannabis use, which is really interesting. I curb my pot usage, as suggested, but the problem persists. I have annual checkups. Nothing in my test comes up. Erections don't occur any other time, so I'm not worried about unexpected erection while I work out in public. Try different tactics, thinking it might be the penis head being tickled when I roll over. No. I'm not having any erotic wet dreams either at the time, so it's not a sexual response for all that I can tell. What would you recommend to address this matter? Well, there is the stretch on the bladder, so keep your bladder empty. There is a spinal reflex when you sleep and sleep cycling that contribute to this. But it's the fact that it's almost a priapism, like a painful erection, that is the problem. And that is almost always substances or medication. It's almost a medication.
Interesting.
And if you're using any other medication, just realize it could be that.
Boner props.
It's a bummer boner.
Yeah.
Boner bummer.
Boner bumps.
Oh my gosh. Here we go. Let's keep going. Oh, here. We got so many good calls.
I can't wait.
This is Andrea, New Hampshire. Hey,
Dr.
There.
Drew. So good to speak with you.
You as well.
Should I just go into it?
Let's do it.
Go for it.
Oh my God, man. Oh my God. This is wild. I'm engaged to a beautiful woman, my best friend, an incredible companion.
Uh-oh.
And we have been together for 7 years.
Yeah.
And, I love spending time with her. The only problem is, she never wants to have sex really. And these weird machinations are starting to form in my mind where I'm like suppressing my sexuality and I'm like masturbating a lot, watching a lot of porn.
Okay, so hold on. So when you say never, what are we talking here?
Oh, sorry. Once a month maybe.
And is that you have to like sort of beg for that, or is it mutual? What how does that go down, so to speak?
So the way it goes down is every single morning I ask to have sex. And she says no. Mm. And then sometimes randomly in the evening she'll be like, okay.
Finally she caves. Hmm. Is she on any medication?
She used to be on some SSRIs.
Ooh, geez.
She got off of them.
Sometimes
really changed.
Sometimes the SSRIs can have permanent changes on this stuff. It can really go on. There's a whole world out there now of support groups, people who've had persistent sexual suppression from SSRIs.
Jesus.
And you, if that's happening to her, it's a sad thing. She needs to talk to some, you know, endocrinologist or doctors that have some experience with this. There's things they can try. But I worry that that's what's going on here.
Was she one time sexually active with you and then it changed? Like she...
Oh, my God. Like when we met in college and we had the most incredible sex life.
Uh-oh.
So what changed?
When did she go on the antidepressants?
We broke up for a few months and that's when she got on them.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so this sounds like that. Oh,
is it antidepressants or what? I mean, is there other factors like cheating or what?
Oh, did something cause the breakup?
Yeah.
It's drying the vag?
Yeah. Did she not trust you? Is she resentful? I'm sorry. It's just
I didn't
true.
Cheat on her.
Okay.
But I think maybe I did break her heart a little bit when I broke up with her. I basically was like, look, I need some time. Mm. I wanted to see other people. Mm. And I told her that. And I think maybe that made her sad.
And then after that, was the sex back to normal or is that when everything changed?
We had one incredible makeup sex session and then it was different after that. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys may need to have a serious talk, particularly before you get married. I would argue in front of a marriage counselor.
Yep.
Go to counseling. You know, one good thing about the Catholic Church, say what you will, is if you want to get married in the church, you have to go through some counseling.
Yeah.
I would go and look at the SSRI stuff in conjunction with the emotional component. Because women, the minute we resent you, that's what shuts down first. That shop is closed, homie. So she could be harboring.
So it's not just that we want our emotional needs met. It's actually if we build resentments that you are resenting us. That's the main venture.
Oh, that's number one that shuts down. One. I don't want to bang you anymore if I hate you. Mm. She might still be harboring
why
she, some
then
stuff.
Why are they even? Why do you do the relationship then?
Because especially if...
I don't think she hates me.
Yeah.
Nah, she might secretly
but why?
Resent.
Why would you be in the relationship?
Because it's the beauty pageant thing, right? Especially in their situation. You want to be chosen over all others. He breaks up with her to go out with many others. And then he comes back to her and is like, guess what? It's you, bitch. And she's like, that's what I fucking said. Now you pay.
How long will that pay?
Until they address it. Have you had a talk about this with her? Like a frank, open talk about that time period and moving forward. You got to talk.
Yeah.
Talk.
Yes.
And the SSRI.
They're really, really good with communication.
They do talk about it.
And have you told her the sex is suffering, that you're suffering?
We talk about it all the time. And it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to force her to have sex with me. Of course, that'd be insane. So what I'm doing is I'm just like, I'm accepting it as it is when it comes. But it's really tough because I'm starting to suppress it. And now my problem, this is a real problem. Now my problem is like, psychologically, I'm starting to be unable to achieve erections sometimes.
Because you're so upset.
I'm so suppressed. But let me ask you guys this. Let's make a presumption. Let's make a presumption that this is just how it's going to be and moving forward.
Negative.
What's the move on my end? How do I deal with it?
Get the fuck out, homie. Sorry.
Withholding sex and love is a very aggressive move if that's what she's doing. If it's that she has a biological problem, that needs to be properly assessed and treated. And because I've been involved, you and I have had these conversations, Christine and I, about hormone replacement and how important that is. But I got to tell you, it's one thing I've noticed seeing women go from shut down to activated again with the hormones. In either state, the women seem to have no objective sense about where they are. In other words, when they're shut down, they don't realize they're shut down. And when they're asking for sex every night, they don't seem to think it's any different than when they were shut down.
That's true.
It's like you guys, it's the weirdest thing. Whatever biological state you're in is just the way of the world.
Yeah.
And whatever state you were in.
That's so
true. And that men are not like that. Not that we're so insightful, but we are acutely aware of our biological states. I mean, we're hungry. We have sex, we want sex. You know what I mean? We know this stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are just sort of in it at all times.
That's true.
And can't be objective about it. So when he talks to her about her shutdown, she doesn't really appreciate that she shut down. And when she's reactivated, she really won't see it. I'm not saying for all women, but she won't see it as what was happening before. It's a weird thing to watch.
But look, I can't solve your problem, but I can tell you before you get married to this woman,
you got to solve these things.
You need to hammer it out. Go to a marriage counselor, a therapy counselor.
You have to be excited about being with each other. You have to wake up every day. It has to be exciting, not exciting in the sense that you're, you know, excited, but you have to be wanting to be with this person every day. You have to wake up every day wanting to be with this person.
Because marrying her, it's not going to change it, and it's not going to get better on its own.
It's going to get worse after children.
It's going to, oh, good luck.
Yeah.
She don't want to fuck now. She ain't going to want to fuck with kids unless she likes to fuck.
Oh, it's so sad. Bothers me so much when people get like that. It's just not fair.
It's not fair. And he sounds like a sweet guy.
Oh, he does sound like a
Except when he broke up.
I think you really work on that. Hey, listen, man.
He probably was super young. I'm assuming
he was in college.
Yeah.
And
it's brutal to hear, though.
He shouldn't have said it, but he should not have continued in the relationship because men, when they're not ready, they are not ready. They need to go out and sort of be themselves.
But can I tell you something? Don't tell her that.
I know.
That
was the mistake. Yeah.
Just conceal.
Don't conceal. It's just, I don't want to go on. It's like, that's just the fact.
But why? Okay, but let's do some role playing. Okay, you're the girl.
I want to get married. You want to get married, right?
Wait, let's get married.
I'm not ready. I'm just not ready.
What do you mean? Don't you love me?
I do love you, but I am too, I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am in the world. I've still got to finish my residency.
I love you. I think you're so what do we do?
I love you too, but this is not, if you have to do that,
you're out. That's it. It's an ultimatum. We're done.
Well, you would have to give me the ultimatum.
And then you're just going to break up with me?
I know myself. I can't do this. I know.
Well, then
it would destroy everything if I did that.
It'll destroy everything.
Because I will screw it up later. I won't be. This is my point with men. This whole business about, you know.
That's smart. I'll screw you up later.
Yeah.
I'll screw you up later.
I'm in my middle age crisis. Fuck those people. Fuck that. You should have done that when you were 20 and stood up for yourself and do whatever the fuck you need to do by yourself when you're 20. And then you don't feel that way when you're 40 and 50. Come on now. It's not the midlife crisis. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You fucked up earlier. You're going to suck it up.
Should have been in your 20s. 100%. Get that AIDS in the 20s. When does it get the, what is that one? The gout? Get the gonorrhea.
The gout of the gonorrhea.
Get the gonorrhea.
That was last week.
Yeah.
Justin, he's in Texas.
Hey, what up, Justin?
Hello, how are you guys today?
Good,
we are good. What's happening?
Nothing, just hanging out. I saw you guys made a post about relationship questions.
Yeah, you got one?
I have kind of one of my own.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so I am a 34-year-old man who doesn't really seek out relationships. I don't consider myself to be physically unattractive or unattractive. And I was just wondering if it's normal for, you know, if there's anybody else out there who is in my position and they kind of don't really want a relationship or at this point in time in their life. Is that normal? Am I okay?
Well, I mean, we are not in a position to sort of say no. That's if you're cool with it, I mean, you're cool with it. That's sort of how you'd kind of look at that kind of thing. Have you never wanted a relationship?
No, I've had relationships in the past. I've had girlfriends and things like that, but it was always just so messy and a lot of, I don't know, it wasn't a good experience. And so I figured I would wait until, you know, I was better able to afford a relationship before I go out looking for a relationship.
You know, I think he's sort of representative of young people now. There's a lot of people that feel like this.
Because they can't afford to keep
a lot of men will go, yeah, it was painful. I've got my porn. I'm okay. The girls, they're messy. They asked a lot of me. I couldn't deliver. I just, it's too much. It's too painful. I hear that a lot from people.
That's what happened.
This guy's age to like 25.
The Japanese culture, it's happening a lot too. They'll have like virtual girlfriends.
And so he's not unusual.
Maybe he's not excited by the types that he's dating.
No, it's you got to listen to what he said.
What did he say?
It's a burden. It's tough. They were difficult.
Ooh.
And they asked a lot of him that he's like, you know, it's like, I'm not sure it's right. Am I
like
right?
Miley Cyrus. I can love me better than you can, you know?
Mm. He didn't get much out of it. A lot of it was asked of him. I don't quite understand this, but I'm hearing this kind of thing quite a bit from people his age.
But I'm trying to I want to go deeper into this barrel.
Yes, we should.
Like,
we should.
Like, what is this? Is this?
Well, it could be something unique about him. First of all, just because he sounds like a lot of kids this age doesn't mean he is like a lot of kids.
Right.
Like, for instance, Justin, do you come from a traumatic background, or do you have a broken family? That kind
of
thing.
Oh, is this when we guess?
I would. My dogs. Background.
I'm gonna go.
I would say it's a little bit traumatic, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really a lot of like, you are important in my family. I wouldn't say that, you know, like it was never, you were never made to feel a sense of individuality or importance within me.
And did you have, was it a broken family?
Mm-hmm. No, they're still together. I would say they're emotionally broken. I wouldn't say I wouldn't say that they're not physically separated.
And did you have any overt abuse? Because sometimes when kids are lacking love in the family, they're good targets for abuse by neighbors and camp counselors and things like that.
Oh, yes, sir. I wouldn't say camp counselors. I've always been a little bit rambunctious. But... no, I do have a history of sexual assault when I was a little kid.
And so, did you have that treated? Have you ever had that trauma treated?
I've been in therapy. I think that this is a my lack of wanting a relationship is a manifestation of that. Actually,
yeah, that's kind of what I'm picking up on. And so I would suggest, you know, you really have to have specialized trauma care when you've had this kind of stuff go on.
Yeah.
And things like EMDR and neurobiofeedback and other things that really go at the wiring that trauma does to us, so you can sort of reintegrate more. And maybe be able to tolerate relationships better and be more sort of present in ways without it being so burdensome. So that'd be sort of the road. Or not, or you can just be okay with yourself, like you said. You can do what you want. You know, I mean, this is, it just...
I'm good.
You're missing something.
I'm great at like... you know, I just... It's more specifically romantic relationships. Like, I can get along with
women. I understand.
And I'm actually...
I understand.
But just romance is so... I don't know. It just makes me... Maybe it's because I don't know. Maybe it's the latent Catholic in me. I don't know.
No, well, but, it's the intimacy, right? And when you have trauma, intimacy is a big challenge. And then there's all kinds of conflicted stuff around sex and sexuality when you had childhood sexual abuse. And it just affects everything. It just is in there, and there is treatments for it. It can be sorted out. And if you don't sort it out, it will just continue to affect things. Now, you seem fine. You're not a serious mental illness. You're fine. Your mood just, no, you're fine. You're good with yourself. And if you want to just go along, you certainly can. But there is a richer landscape out there. And people do need love, play, work.
Yeah.
We've lost track of that in recent years too.
Yeah.
Love, play, work. Love and sex, play, work. We got to have all of them.
I know. And I'm glad that Justin, right? That was his name?
Yeah.
That he... has enough self-awareness to go, I'm not enjoying this. I might need to step back. I know a lot of women I'm friends with who are like, I cannot have children. I am far too traumatized to have children. And you go, you know what?
Good.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah.
So take a step back and do the work on yourself
or not. You know, it's up to him.
some lifetimes are not for it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's up to him. He sounds happy and he sounds
fine.
And maybe how he navigates it. I mean, that's okay. Totes. And he's had some therapy and stuff. But if he wants a richer... connection.
Life. If you can do it, it's tough, man.
Doing the trauma work?
Yeah. Some people are not cut out. We were talking about before we turned the mics on resiliency. Yeah. Some people are not.
It's overwhelming to some people.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. It's terrible. It's tough. It's tough to look into the darkness, right?
Did we talk about this a couple months ago, you and I?
We talk about it every time we see each other.
The darkness. The darkness. But did you have the dead spots that I had? I talked to you about this, didn't I?
Your emotional dead spots?
Where I would go into like these, they're called trauma-associated dead spots. And they're things that people fall into, particularly during deeper relational therapies. Mm. And I would go into these fugue states and I would just remember I would just all of a sudden be unable to move.
Jesus.
And the next thing I'd be aware of, the therapist would go, your time is up. And I thought, whoa, time was constricting.
Meaning like you were talking to the therapist, but you just didn't even know what the fuck.
No, I stopped talking too. And she would just sit there and sit with it for 50 minutes or however long it was. And eventually they just sort of sealed up. They stopped. So by having another person there with you, because those dead spots are highly anxiety provoking. They're dead. You're dead. And so going into these dead states, your brain hates it. And have somebody let you go in and hold you there while you're there. It's very powerful.
You would sit there for 50 minutes in a fugue state, not saying anything.
Correct.
And you weren't aware of the
time
hour.
Passing.
Mm-mm. That I've never had that happen. Mm-mm.
But my brain would certainly not go any near that shit by itself.
You were really traumatized.
I was really traumatized, but I also did very, very deep psychotherapy work. Very deep.
Oh, God, and, I want to go every day.
Well, most people can't get to that, what I was able to get through. I consider that some of the talent of my therapist. But most people can't get to that without EMDR and things like that. These are the tricks we use to get people to those places. And they feel overwhelmed and broken and confused when they get into them or in and out of them because it's so unnatural for your brain to let you go there. And that's the part that needs to be reintegrated with the rest. And so when you say it's overwhelming and hard, yeah.
Yeah, it's scary.
Took me forever, too. I knew there was something up. I was like, I'm going to keep coming every week.
What was up?
It was nothing dynamic. It was nothing like, oh, I need to talk about blah, blah, blah. No, I needed to experience things in the presence of another person who could make me feel safe.
Just the darkness. It wasn't a particular memory you brought up. It was
just falling into the hole.
Yeah, I've done that.
Okay.
Oh, but I've had panic attacks getting too close to the hole.
Okay. That's my go-to out in the world, but in therapy I was able to go in and they sort of healed up.
Yeah,
and then the panic and the anxiety went away.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. I was just talking to someone about that during lunch. Mm-hmm. That you can wake up one day and no longer have anxiety about a certain situation, thing, or whatever because you've healed, you've done the work behind it. Yeah, it's cool.
So you're able to go in the darkness.
Yeah. I had a panic attack. Something prompted it, but it was in the middle of the night. I was like, I just freaked out and had a panic attack, and I hadn't had one in years. And then I told my shrink about it, and we went there, and we went into it together. Yeah, and then
I don't have panic anymore.
I don't have it either.
Oh my god, did I have bad panic? And some of it is the younger brains are prone to this stuff too. You know, 18 to 25. It's like
fuck that shit. We're old brains.
Damn. Old brains, man, made it. Now it's just deteriorating.
Middle-aged brain.
Now, dude, I'm senior brain.
Senior brain.
Let's do some video, shall we? A little palate cleanser. I've got a lot more calls still out there.
Let's do some calls too. I don't want to.
Okay, more calls.
Let's do them all because I want these people to be serviced.
Okay. It's two more to go. Then. Yeah. Don't create anymore. This is Andrew.
Okay, Andrew.
Hello. Hi, mommy.
Hey,
hi,
mommy.
Jeans.
Hey, Jesus. This is awesome. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
Good. Nothing. I just had some relationship advice.
Okay. Mm. What you got?
So my parents. Oh, sorry.
Go into it. Your parents?
Yep.
Yeah. So my parents are leaving. They're moving out of state. And I have a girlfriend that I've currently been with for over a year now. And we're taking over the lease to the house in about 3 months.
Okay.
And I'm nervous because there's some drinking problems. And it's not really fun with her when she's drunk. But I love her to death. She's a big child. It's so bad. And I just don't know, like, if this is going to turn into, like, a bigger problem. It's not like she's drinking all the time, but it's when she drinks, she really fucking drinks.
She rips.
So do you come from a family with an alcoholic, one of your parents?
Nope. I'm a recovering addict of 5 years from cocaine.
Okay. So you know what this is, right? Her illness. Are you in the program? You just stopped.
No, I haven't been in the program for a couple of years.
But you're familiar with it. You're familiar with the program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're familiar with alcoholism and what it is and how it works, right? So you're not going in blindly. You've seen it. You've seen it in the rooms. You know what this is. And you also know that not everyone that has the gene and the potential loses control. I mean, maybe she's one of these people that can kind of cruise along for long periods of time without losing control. Is she open to sort of guidance on her condition? I'm laughing because
she goes to therapy now, actually.
but is she showing any insight into the excesses?
Kind of.
Okay. Let's say she loses control. How are you going to be with that?
I'm not okay with that. I don't want to deal with the out of control person.
I understand. Would you leave at that point unless she dealt with her condition?
I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe a little Al-Anon or something for you, just a couple meetings, just kind of sound it out a little bit. I mean, it's free. It's like you can do it on Zoom, you know. These are really interesting questions. They're philosophical. They're philosophical because it's easy to go, hey, man, you're with an alcoholic. You want to deal with that? Fuck that. No, you're an addict. You know what it is. You don't want somebody not to love you because of your condition. You know, you could relapse any minute. That could happen to you, but you still want somebody to be in a relationship with you, and as well they should. And she hasn't lost control yet. She may never lose control, or she might lose control. You have to be very clear on where you are with this and what you're willing to tolerate. And if you can say to yourself, you know, I love her so much, she's got this condition, any different than you said she's diabetic and not taking care of her diabetes, and I don't want to sit in the hospital while she has neuropathy and, you know, DKA. I don't want to deal with that because she's not taking care of her diabetes, right? That might be a reason too. Yeah. Or you might go, shit, it's not her fault. She has diabetes. I love her anyway. We'll see what happens. In this, my suspicion is what you're going to do is go, she's great. I love her. We'll see what happens. And then you're going to have to be very clear on what you do if she loses control. That's all. You have to talk, you know, get some Al-Anon peers going and figure out what you do. It's a philosophical question.
Yeah, because it's not like she's drinking all the time. She's really
you're making excuses. You're making deals about her alcoholism now.
I love when they bargain. So, yeah. It's not that bad.
I hate you, Dr. Drew. I hate you.
I know this condition very, very well. And so just go to some Al-Anon. You really do love her. She really is a great person. She really does have a real condition. And you got to figure out where you are with that. It's about you with yourself now. And then she needs to get more realistic about his condition too. And she might be fine. She might control it the rest of her life. I don't know. It might be okay. And, you know, these are hard questions, right? They're philosophical.
It's all gray area.
Yeah.
This kind of a thing is so gray.
If she were presently completely out of control, you go, do you want to deal with this or not? You know, if you want to have an alcoholic deal with the rest of your life or not. And if not, get the fuck out of there. But if yes, then go to Al-Anon and let's get her better and let's keep working on it. It's going to be a lifelong project. But she's not there yet and she may never get there. Who knows? So.
And back to the discussion we had with the girl who, Samantha, was it? Who wants to be a little more stimulated in a relationship.
Wait,
no, not different. The one that was like, he's boring.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, this is why you marry boring.
That's exactly right. This is what she's looking for.
Yeah, this is the like, bah, 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 guy. Mm-hmm. You don't want bah, bah, bah. You want just fucking boring. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
I've dated these fucking guys. They suck. You don't want it. Get boring. Boring always
wins. I always give people the opportunity to sort of be...
some gray.
Yeah,
well, everyone's got their shit. Hi, mommy.
Right, everyone's got their shit. It is a philosophical question, not a medical question.
What kind of shit can you endure? Pick your suffering, right? Pick your suffering.
Joe, how about you, my friend?
Poor Joe.
Is that me?
Yes,
you.
That's you.
So I guess what was your question?
I don't know. What's your question?
My question? Oh, shoot. Well, I kind of wanted to know, like, what do you guys know about, like, schizophrenia and all that stuff? Because, like, what do you guys know about schizophrenia?
I guess from the medical
aspect of it.
I've dealt with it a lot. Have you been given that diagnosis?
Yes. A few years ago, about 2014, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia, mm-hmm. in and out of the hospital for, I guess, like 3 years and all that stuff. And currently my diagnosis is schizoaffective.
Mm.
So I was wondering, like, what do you guys know about that? And, like, can you give me any, like, things
like, give me your perspective of it, and like maybe I can give you my perspective of it.
All right. So schizophrenia is a serious mental illness. It's a brain condition. It's associated with very specific changes in the brain. There is a spectrum. It's a spectrum of disorders from really severe advanced where people are talking to themselves and they're not in reality and have trouble coming back, versus more milder states where people sort of hear voices and, you know, might get confused and paranoid at times. All of it responds extremely well to... Go ahead.
Do you believe it's a chronic disease? Like you have it for the rest of your life? Or
well, schizophrenia, yes. These
like
are
over time with...
These are all chronic illnesses, but they can be very well managed. I mean, and the problem with schizophrenia is that it progresses if it isn't treated. This is the thing that kills me about schizophrenia, that if you don't get people early and treat them frequently and often, they can do great. I mean, you wouldn't even be able to tell many times with certain kind of schizophrenia syndromes that somebody is having this condition.
I mean, me personally, I was on the meds and all that stuff, and like personally, I don't really believe in like pharmaceuticals and all that stuff. But I've been off my meds for like the last, I guess, going on 2 years now. And like I like you had mentioned, like bringing yourself back to reality and everything. I feel like,
I will tell you that
my friend earlier,
that there's evidence that cognitive behavioral therapies can be helpful in helping you identify your delusions when they occur so you don't fall all the way into them. And if you start developing delusions, you can take a little something to get you back on track, and that can be a fine way to do it. And by the way, schizoaffective is not the same as schizophrenia. It's not so progressive. Schizo is more of a... You know, it's affective. It's a mood disorder and schizo. It has a psychotic component and a mood component. And as one psychiatrist explained to me once, there's schizoaffective, more mood, and there's schizoaffective, more psychotic. And so you have certain, you know, balances amongst these two. And it's not as progressive. It's not as severe as schizophrenia. And so good. Yeah. You take advantage of the treatments. But because it's a brain thing, you've got to do some meds, at least intermittently. And if you don't take them, and it is schizophrenia, it can destroy your brain. You can be really destroyed by it.
And I got to tell you, my mother deteriorated significantly. It doesn't get better. You got to treat it. And it sounds like the blessing in the skies, if you will, is that he got diagnosed early.
Yeah, and he's insightful. He's smart. Yeah, he's thinking about it.
He's reaching out for help. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, but find somebody you can trust and stay in a relationship with that therapist or whatever, that mental health professional. And just, it's a chronic thing. You got to kind of tune it up every once in a while. Look, I have mood disorders. I have anxiety disorder. You have schizoaffective. Yeah, and I've been in decades of therapy and this and that, and you know
we're all fucked up, yo.
Yeah, yo. But treatment works. That's the other thing you got to keep in mind. Treatment works. Let's talk about some TikTok here. Let's do a little TikTok.
Let's lift the mood. A little sorbet. A little cleanser.
Oye Adri, dame un consejo de amor.
Te voy a decir
algo. Oh.
Nunca, 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 nunca le des oportunidad a un feo. Porque luego te tratan como si la fea fueras tú. Y eso te lo digo en todos los sentidos, ¿eh? Nunca le des la oportunidad a una persona infiel.
All right. And do we have a funner one than the armless woman?
That's pretty fun.
You think that one's fun?
I think that's awesome. She's awesome. I love her.
Okay.
What's she saying? She's saying nothing. It's crazy if what? She's talking shit about somebody? All right. Well, anyway, I get the message. Oh boy.
Go. This is what I'm talking about.
Oh, dude. Christina, why do you send these?
My name is Vines.
Oh. Vines?
And I'm an old goth.
Oh.
She's enchanting.
Need to guess how old.
She's enchanting you right now?
I am.
She is not. Is she 800 years old?
No.
I'm here.
She's using her eyes to enchant you.
Oh, I didn't notice. She's got a little bit of a talk eye going. That left eye's talked a little bit. TikTok.
Oh, fuck. Hold on.
What?
No, my kid has to get picked up for this.
Oh, we got to wrap it up.
Maybe forever. Maybe just until I get bored with you. See, depends on how good you are for me.
You know something we've never talked about?
This is crazy. Yeah.
We'll wrap up. So we never talk about ASMR.
I hate
this. This is ASMR. This is a little bit of that.
I hate it.
She's got the fingernails and the whispery and all stuff. I like it. This is where you and I differ. We finally found something we really differ on. This is it. I mean, they've gone way over their top, and it's so insane with the microphones with the little shit on.
You know what I do like is when I like hearing their nails click.
Yeah, yeah.
That, like, the long nail ASMR is not that bad, but when that actually was a TikTok, it's the vampire lane. She was trying to, she was pretending to be a vampire, and she was enchanting you.
Oh, well,
that was
work.
Didn't you just get enchanted by that bitch?
No, it was the TikTok eye that kept bringing me out. Dude, she had that talk eye going.
I was fully invested.
Really?
Bro.
I just got the last ASMR experience from her, and that's about it. Is there any more before we go? One more? All right, here we go. Oh, yeah. These guys with the ligers.
Yeah, amazing.
That's quite a world. Okay. All right, my dear. Been great spending time with you.
Yeah, sorry, my kid. They lost power.
In the house?
At school.
Oh.
And so my little kiddo needs to get picked up.
Oh, we'll go do it.
Perfect timing. We just did it.
We just finished it. Much more important.
We learned so much.
Did you? You learned a lot?
Meow, 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 meow.
What's wrong with us?
Middle-aged brain. Elder brain.
Meow, meow, everybody. Go watch Where My Mom's At.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Watch Where My Mom's At, Your Mom's House, Buy My Lipstick, ChristinaPOnline.com for all of that stuff, yo. I'm on tour. I'm a choreographer, a producer, a director, poet. I ain't doing all
that. Check out my streaming show, Dr. Drew. Ask Dr. Drew at 3 o'clock Pacific time. We've got some interesting stuff going, particularly on Wednesdays, 3 o'clock Pacific. Check that out. It's all over at drdrew.com, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.